Well, good morning and a warm welcome to St. Andrew's this morning. It's lovely to be here together on this lovely autumn day. If you don't know me, my name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson and I'm part of the retired clergy team here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. And a warm welcome as well, not only to those people who are here this morning, but to those who listen to the recording during the week. It's lovely to be together in whatever way we can. And this morning, we're continuing our series of the I Ams in John's Gospel, where Jesus says, I am various things. And this morning, we come to I am the Good Shepherd. And this morning's preacher is a new member to the retired clergy team, and that is the Reverend Mark Slater. And I'm going to ask Mark and his wife Sarah if they'd like to come up to the front now and to hear a little bit about their story and about where they've come from and where they are going to. If you stand here, that's it. I think we've got the camera focused on this side of me. And so maybe if I hand over to you two, you can say a little bit about where you've come from and what's brought you to Malvern. Sarah's going to begin.
Well, we've come from St. Albans, and both newly retired, but we don't like to think of it as retirement. It's the next phase, season of our life. So we're here.
Yeah, I'm here too. We retired last November, and it's been just great having some just time to relax and to find our feet in Malvern. But we moved from St. Albans, where we've been for a few years, 22 to be exact. So we've had a really lovely time in St. Albans. And what did you do for a living?
Well, I taught. I taught 4 days a week in a special school for children, secondary school children, with social, emotional and mental health issues. And I taught them maths, which is either a great conversation starter or silence.
Yes, I used to teach maths too. I know exactly the feeling.
I don't know what else you want to know us. We have 3 children and 2 mothers still alive, and we've left all of them in St. Albans.
Oh, so why Malvern?
Well, house prices in St. Albans are rather silly.
Yes.
You know, I think we might have afforded a flat, probably, if we were lucky. And as we both come from round here, we both went to school in Worcester, which is where we met. So we've been around, don't know many people, but we know the area fairly well.
We're just loving coming back. Well, it's actually to our roots. So we both went to school in Worcester, which is where I met my dear wife. At school, can you believe? That was a long time ago. But we've had actually 20 more sort of lovely years in St. Albans with a lovely congregation there, prior to that in Luton. But here is a place where we felt the Lord has brought us, and it's just really good. We were going to sort of search, you know, quietly all the local churches of the area and see which might be the best one to join. It never happened, did it? This was the first church we've come to, and I must say we're feeling very at home here. It's just great to be here.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to have you, and so welcome. Mark will be preaching to us later on I Am the Good Shepherd. We've got some other interesting things going on here. This is partly why I know Mark and Sarah felt so welcome. I think his second day here, he went to the men's breakfast Sunday morning here. That was it. Didn't even look at any other church. And we've got some great harvest services coming up. There's an opportunity not only to praise God for the harvest, but to bring and share lunch and to have come and gather for tea. So there's just super things going on that are services that we can invite friends and neighbours to. There'll also be a food bank very much to the fore this season of harvest, and details about how we can donate to that are also on the website. There is Ruth Valerio coming, well-known speaker on climate change and the Christian Church, speaking at Ignite. And all the details, again, are on the website. And We are looking for people who can help with the Christmas blessings team. We've had wonderful blessings, even right through COVID, with the church here blessing the local community. And we're looking for people who'd like to do that, join in with that this year. So please let Liz, our operations manager in the office, know if you would like to be a part of that team. And all other details, everything else going on, you'll find on the website. If you go to the Connect icon on there, you can link up and get a weekly mailing and keep completely up to date. So let's begin, shall we, with a moment or two, just to focus ourselves on the Lord as we think about he is our good shepherd. Psalm 107 says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you satisfy the thirsty. You are the water of life and you are the bread of life. You fill the hungry with good things. And as we gather together in your presence this morning, you know that many of us have troubles and cares and worries that we come with. Yet this morning, Lord God, we are hungry for you. We know that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And so we pray, faithful one, whose word is life, that you will come with your saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand, if we can, to sing our first song, Indescribable, praising God for all of who he is. And whilst we're doing that, there is a box of instruments here for children to join in, which I'd love them to do. So let's stand, shall we, as the band lead us.
I think there's some flags as well.
it would be lovely if the children could just sit at the front here and we'll all sit down. And we're going to have a time of confession, as it's called, which is a bit about saying sorry to God. Just get the light. Using hands, that's why I've got a picture of some hands. And often when we come, we say, just said how wonderful God is, and then we realise that maybe we're not so wonderful ourselves. And so this morning we're going to use our hands to say sorry to God, and we're all going to join in with this. So first of all, if you'd like to have your hands closed into your chest. And that's for all of us to represent how we haven't shared things with others. We've grabbed them for ourselves and we've been selfish. And we want to say to God, we are sorry, God, for the way in which we have been selfish. Now we're going to put our hands over our mouths and to say, we're sorry, God, for foolish words that we've spoken and wished we hadn't, unkind things that we've said to other people. And now we're going to take our hand and point it to somebody else. And just think about how we blame other people for the things that we do wrong. And we're sorry, God, that we've done things wrong ourselves. And we've blamed other people for it. Now we're going to put our hands over our eyes. We've not looked to help other people, God. We're sorry that we haven't helped other people. We've looked away. We haven't taken any notice of them. And now we're going to put our hands over our ears and say, we're sorry, God, that we haven't listened to those people who are needing, those people who need us. We've been oblivious to the cries of those in need. We are so sorry. And now we're going to just open our hands and lift them upwards. And as we offer ourselves to God, saying we're sorry in confession, we thank God for his forgiveness. Thank you, Lord God, that you are good to us and that you love us and that you forgive us and that your Holy Spirit enables us to start again afresh with you today. Thank you for your forgiving Spirit. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, I've got... Jesus said, you know, he said he was the gate that we could go in and out and find pasture. So as God's forgiven people, he wants to feed us in different ways and look after us. Now, I'm going to need some help here with the various things that I've got here. I'd like you to come and have a look at what I've got on the table. Come and have a look and see what there is. If you'd like to come up the steps, maybe you can tell me what I've got here. What are you going to pick out that you recognise? Yes, now what do you recognise about this one? It is for dog. You throw it and it releases a ball and you can scoop it up and get your ball there again. What's that one for? That's a dog lead. That's for walking a dog. And this one, isn't anybody here got a dog?
No.
Yes, so some people have. Have you got a cat? You don't recognise that one. Some people have got a cat. Who's got a cat? Yes. Don't have any. Well, some people who don't have their own pets, they look after the birds. And they put out bird seed and they look after the birds. So we've all got... Yeah, that's right. We've all got people that we... things that we look after. Sometimes it's animals. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have pets. They didn't have cats and dogs like we do, or guinea pigs, or what else? Anybody else got any other pets besides those that we've just mentioned? Yes? Stick insects. Oh. Yes? Caterpillars.
A fish.
And do you feed them? Do you look after them all? Yes, yes, she did look after them all. Yes, it's really important, isn't it? So for Jesus, he didn't have the cats and dogs and the stick insects and things that we do, but he did talk about sheep. And he talked about how he looks after his sheep. And he's really careful of them. How do you stop an animal from hurting itself and you know, getting into trouble? How do you prevent that, Skye? You keep it safe. That's right. And that's what Jesus did when he said that he'd got a sheepfold where we can be safe. Yes? How do you keep your animals safe? You keep it in its house. Well, we're in God's house today, aren't we? That's part of being safe by God, yes? Yes. Every time he's talking about collective worship at school, I'm sorry, I should have had the roving mic to get their answers. I do apologise. But he's just saying that, sorry, what's your name? Amen. Just saying that at collective worship at school, everybody's joining in. And we're all here to protect one another, look out for one another, and especially God looks out for us. So if you'd like to go and find somewhere to sit, and we've got, or stay up here with musical instruments if you're instrumentalists, because I think we've got another song coming. Is that right, Jane? It's a new one.
Thank you. Looking after us, just like the shepherd looks after its sheep. So it would be lovely to have a few more instruments and maybe some flags. It's a lovely, gentle song. I'll sing the first verse and then we'll go back to the beginning and we'll all sing it together. Would you like to stand?
going to stay standing as we're about to carry on in our sung worship, but we'll just pray for the children as they go to their groups for their worship. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our good shepherd. Help all of us to listen to your voice in our different groups today, whether we're staying in this room or going elsewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, dear Lord Jesus, we praise you for the power of your name. And we come in prayer to you now, calling on the power of your name and knowing that you present our petitions to the Father. When I say, in faith we pray, please respond, in your name, Jesus, and really speak out that powerful name. Let's practice that. In faith we pray, in your name, Jesus. With the words of the song still echoing in our minds, we come to you, the tender, powerful, good shepherd, to pray for any we know who need you to set them free from addiction, oppression, depression, betrayal, post-traumatic stress, or the grief of bereavement. We pray your protection for the vulnerable and those in risk of abuse. We pray for the Bereavement Cafe, the Littleton Well Counselling Service, the Dementia Centre at St Matthias, and all the ministry that takes place at the Octagon, including Zest for Life. Keep us mindful of all the ways we can show pastoral care, particularly in this time of increasing hardship for so many. We thank you for miracles of healing in body, mind, and spirit, which we have witnessed in answer to prayer. And we have a special and urgent prayer request today, because yesterday, Debbie's mother, Vera, had a fall, and she's been taken to Hereford Hospital, and she's broken the top of her femur. They're waiting to make a decision on operating. So, Lord, we do pray for Vera, that she may know your presence at this time, for wisdom and guidance for the surgeons and other medical staff, for your comfort for Debbie and Barry and the rest of their family. And we ask you, Lord, to bring healing to Vera and guidance for the future path in her care. In faith we pray, in your name, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we praise you for the joyful wedding here yesterday of Simon and Ellie. And we pray your blessings on them as they begin married life together. And we pray for others who are going on holiday at this time, that they may be refreshed and renewed. In faith we pray, in your name, Jesus. We thank you for the powerful gospel message heard by millions last Monday in word and song at our late Queen's funeral services. And we pray that the message of her personal faith and your dependability for her life may bear fruit in many other lives. We pray, Lord, for your comfort for the royal family as they continue to mourn. May they be given the space to mourn and grieve without intrusion. And we pray that the faith that our new King, Charles, has professed may be daily renewed in dependence on you. Guide him as he assumes his new roles and responsibilities. And we pray this too for our new government, knowing what huge challenges they are facing. We ask you to give them wisdom and compassion. We ask for ourselves that we may respond Christianly in the way we talk and think. Even if we disagree with government policy, we pray we won't be sucked into the current hate culture which vilifies and demonizes people we disagree with. Help us to speak love and truth Show us your heart for them, dear Shepherd. In faith we pray. In your name, Jesus. Lord, we cry to you for our world and those in it who are suffering at this time. We continue to pray for Ukraine. And we pray for your restraining hand on President Putin. We pray for China, as rain and floods have hampered the earthquake rescue mission in Sichuan province, and for the people of Pakistan struggling to recover from recent floods, with more being threatened. And today we pray especially for the people of eastern Canada being battered by Hurricane Fiona, and with Tropical Storm Ian posing a major threat for Florida in the coming week. As the effects of climate change become ever more intense, we pray for real and urgent changes in policy in governments worldwide to protect and preserve our world for our children and grandchildren. In faith we pray, in your name, Jesus. Finally, we pray for ourselves, our families and our friends, that you, loving Shepherd, will keep us safe in your care, and that you will seek and find those who have wandered away. Help us increasingly to hear your voice and follow you. By your Holy Spirit, please grow in us the fruits of the Spirit, which we see displayed so beautifully in the banners on these walls. In faith we pray, in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to grab a Bible from the pew, from one of the seats near you. Rosemary has our Bible reading, and then Mark will come to share God's word with us.
This morning's reading, continuing the series of I Am, it can be found on page 1076, John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
to be able to meet with you
in worship and just share fellowship, as well as listen to God's word together. Let's have a moment of prayer, shall we? Lord, in this time of stillness together, as we share in fellowship and in worship together, Lord, you are present by your Spirit, and may it be by your Spirit that you speak again to our hearts. For those of us who are struggling, may we know your comfort. For the verse in good places, may we know your challenge and your leading and your purpose for us as we look at your word and take it to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, sermons are continuing, aren't they, in this series of I Ams in John's Gospel, of which there are seven. I think today is the fourth. I've lost count. It is. Thank you very much. It is the fourth. Excellent. So from John 10, and the reading began, didn't it? And you heard it. Jesus proclaiming, I am the good shepherd. Well, Sarah and I moved to Malvern last year. It's been lovely, actually, so coming back to our origins and to particularly to this area of Worcestershire. We just love the hills. Maybe I love it a bit more, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's just great to be and to enjoy the hills. Just love walking on them. It's just a great place to come back to. I wonder how many of you are able to enjoy the hills like I have been and I hope to continue doing. It's just great walking the hills. There are fantastic views, and every day the view of the hills and the area is different. So earlier this week, I went to find some sheep. Well, it's the theme of today's sermon, isn't it? It wasn't quite as easy as I thought. Well, for a start, I had no idea where any sheep were on the hills. I didn't even know if there were any at the time. Well, one thing I did soon discover is that, well, at least I found a gate to the sheep. I know that's the theme of last week's sermon, but I thought this was a start. But then I saw that, well, there's not even a fence by this gate. It's just on its own. So I had to start walking the hills to find these sheep, wherever they might be. Where to look for the sheep? So I started not far from the Malvern Hills Hotel. I began to walk towards Perseverance Hill. And then I thought, there's some woods down this side, so I walked down the side towards Hollywell and the well there, hoping, as I followed the path, that I might find the sheep. Did I find any sheep? No. I found a few cattle. Here they are. They're quite friendly cattle, and they're enjoying the woods. But where on earth were these sheep? So I then, having got down towards Hollywell itself, I then climbed up towards the Witch Cutting, and then back onto the top of the hill. And then there in the distance, on the east side of Perseverance Hill, I saw some sheep at last. So with my camera, I then sort of walked over the hill, and I then got closer to the sheep, and here we are, just a couple of photos of sheep. Was there a shepherd there? No. Would you find a shepherd in these parts? I suspect not. These sheep were just wandering round. They were hemmed in by the fence. They were lost, I would like to suggest. Certainly, metaphorically speaking, they were lost. And that, of course, is a picture of many people in our world today. Many people are lost. Just like to invite you to share with me a few thoughts about sheep and the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? And how well do you know and follow the good shepherd? So today is this fourth of the seventh of the great I Am sayings in John's Gospel. Jesus seems to be speaking to a crowd of mostly Jewish people, interestingly. He's painting pictures and metaphors of himself, and here is this picture when he says, "I am the good shepherd." And I wonder if you wonder, well, what was he trying to say in saying, "I am the good shepherd"? He goes on in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Well, let's begin perhaps by a reminder for you or some of you. Jesus is using that statement beginning, "I am," very specifically and particularly. For when he says, "I am the good shepherd," he's using the "I am" for, well, he says it many times in the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel, because of course he's referring back to who he is. In God, he is the "I am who I am." He is the God of eternity. Think back to Exodus 4, where Moses meets with God through the burning bush, and there God says to him, "I am who I am." And that "I am," if you like, is a phrase that we hold on to when we recognize that when Jesus says it, he's not just saying it as to start an any old sentence, but a critical sentence of the Son of God who is in God made man. "I am," he says, "the good shepherd." This Jesus has always been with the Father, and now coming from the Father into humanity as God made man. The God of eternity is now the God in Christ revealing his humanity. So Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. It's a statement full of poignancy. How familiar are you? You've probably heard it many times. I've read it many times. It's interesting how Luke, also referring to Jesus, when a ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher," here he goes, the good bit again, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So here in this phrase, "I am the good shepherd," he's pointing out the fact that there is no one good. None of us are good, and definitely not me. None of us are good, but God alone. He is the good one. And here he uses the phrase, "I am the good shepherd." He is the one of all else who is full of goodness. And how much we could unpack that word "good" if we were to understand and to think about the God who so deeply cares for us, loves us, longs for us, saves us, rescues us. There is none other, is there? He alone is the embodiment of goodness. He alone is the embodiment of goodness in all its fullness. He is the only good shepherd. I've got a picture of the good shepherd. How many of you have seen this? Just hands up, how many of you have seen this? None of you. This is quite a well-known picture, at least in the Christian world. It's a painting by a priest and artist called Father Sieger Koder, who's a German. Have I got any dates for him? I think he died in the 1950s possibly, but he's a priest in Germany. And actually he painted, if you go on to the internet, you can find many pictures painted by Father Sieger Koder. And I've seen this before, and I just particularly like it, because it says actually quite a lot about us and about Jesus. If you go onto the internet and you just sort of Google "Good Shepherd," you come up with hundreds of pictures of Jesus with a lamb on his shoulders, and they're also very lovely, nice, twee pictures. This has rather more to it. If you can all see it well enough, look at it carefully. First of all, of course, you can see Jesus is carrying a lamb on his, the shepherd, portrayed, this is how Jesus is portrayed here. He's carrying a lamb on his shoulders. And first of all, just look at Jesus, or the shepherd, look at his face. And what is he looking at? It's almost as though he's got eyes for only one person. In this case, it's the lamb that he's carrying. On the left-hand side, you can see a couple of, are they adults or children? It's difficult to tell, but they're playing musical instruments. Are they playing joyfully? Maybe. But clearly there's some sense of them being together, and they're playing music. And, if you go by the person who's got his hand raised high on the right, who seems to be praising God, there's a sense of joy there that they've seen the shepherd bring home a lamb. And if you like, in the very front, near the bottom of the picture, there's another person, it's a rather red face, but holding this bunch of roses, red roses. I wonder what that's a symbolism of, do you think? Seems to speak to me, perhaps it's one of love for the shepherd, as that person offers these roses to him. And if you look at the top left-hand side of the picture, you can see the butterflies. They're rather pretty. What do the butterflies speak of to you? For me, it made me think of, perhaps, resurrection, new life. But for me, the most interesting and poignant part of this picture is in the background on the top right. I hope you can all see that, can you? Maybe it's not so easy to see on the screen, I'm not sure. But so there's this bush in the background, it's got a big bush, and actually it's a really horrible, thorny, dangerous place to be. And if you look carefully enough, you'll see that there are there's bits of wool caught in that bush amongst those trees. And if you look even more carefully, there's bits of red, I suggest it's blood, on the ground and maybe on parts of the bush. See, this picture of the Good Shepherd, I think, says quite a lot about what Jesus is really like in the way that many pictures miss. This is a picture of Jesus who has rescued a lamb from pain, from hurt, from being caught in thorny bushes, perhaps was close to death because they were caught in the bush. This Good Shepherd has left his friends, left those he knows, and he's gone out, as it were, on a limb to the place of difficulty and danger. He has done all he could to rescue this lamb. The shepherd stopped at nothing to rescue the lamb from disaster. I think this is a very powerful picture because it's a picture not of shepherds and sheep. It's of you and me. It's of our world. It's of a world of people who follow God and who don't. It's conveying a message. It seems to me, well, maybe many messages, and I wonder what you might already be picking out of it, both from this and from our reading today. It's an image that is full of meaning and symbolism. It's interesting that in addressing his audience, Jesus is speaking to mostly Jewish people, and he's speaking to them in metaphor, in symbol, in pictures, and it's a powerful picture. Yes, of a shepherd and sheep, but Jesus is challenging them about who they are and what they believe in and what's important to them. Jesus is not just any shepherd. Of course, he is the and one and only Good Shepherd. And he has gone out of his way, even a pain pain or even possibility of death, to rescue a life that was almost lost. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that the God in Jesus is the one who's come to rescue the lost, to reach the least and the last, because of his love for them. And I guess that includes you and me. And many of us have come into that fold, and so we can sing and rejoice that we know the shepherd and he knows us and loves us. But of course there are those who are still lost and need to be reached. Jesus, as shepherd here, has left the flock to save the lamb. He's faced dangers to save the injured and the lost. And now the good shepherd, who's gone out of his way, goes out of his way for those around us here, even in Malvern, and wherever we come from, to reach out to others who need to know that they are not lost when they find Jesus. This picture speaks to us, seems to me, of the real Jesus, who has stopped at nothing, not even death on the cross, to rescue us. More than rescue, it's to bring us healing, it's to bring us hope and life in all its fullness. I couldn't help going back to the verse before our reading this morning, which is the end of verse 9. I think it's verse 10, isn't it? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it to the full. This is a wonderful message that we need to proclaim wherever we go, that God wants us to live our lives to the full. He won't only rescue us, he wants to heal us, restore us, renew us, that we may live differently, that we may live God's way, the way of love, the way of grace, the way of hope, the way of future. Jesus eyes us with such love and concern, especially if life is proving hard for us, especially when times are difficult. And here he is portraying an image that is a picture of somebody who is truly caring, showing a sacrificial aspect of his nature through this picture, showing such deep love. I think it just stands out in that picture of Jesus looking at the lamb, holding him so lovingly and carefully, and bringing that lamb that was lost back in to the community. It looks to me more like his family than just any old community. Lovely picture. Just to move on one verse, to verse 12. After Jesus has begun, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then he goes on to say, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand is not a shepherd who cares or values or owns the sheep. How many people are there in the world who care nothing for others, care nothing for you and me, care nothing for those who are in poverty or in destitution or in grief or in hardship? The hired hand, he comes to the sheep for his own ends. Those who are like hired hands, they just want to get their own way. They want to steal sheep for their selfish ends. They will lead the sheep astray if it's to their own benefit. But of course, when the wolf comes, the hired hand cares nothing for anybody else. They clear off. And then the wolf comes. Danger arises. When the hired hand flees, the wolf goes for the sheep. And it seems to me that for many in our world, and I can't say enough really because I don't know more than well enough yet, but I know parts of the world where I've been where the need for those in abject poverty is so great, the care for them is so needed, and yet they're in such vulnerable places. So this picture is a picture of life today, is it not? But what a positive picture it is if we know that is Jesus is the one who we are to hold to place our faith in every day, to just not let go of the truth that he is the only, the one good shepherd. He is God made man for us and for everyone. Without Christ, without Jesus in our lives, we can easily lose our sense of purpose and direction. Like lost sheep, we can easily lose sight of what's important in life. I admit you, I feel I'm in such a consumer world now, it's just easy to just go along with the easy way of living. The money we've just been spending on making our house a home, we've been so lucky. But it's sort of, at one level, it's futile. It's not the point, it's not a hint of that, because our life in this world is limited, but our life with God is eternal. But we are in this consumer-driven world, making easy decisions now that can result in long-term difficulties is present for many of us. The wealthy lifestyle many of us enjoy stands in stark contrast to the well-being or lack of well-being of so many in our world today. And though our present government seems not to care at all, almost, the climate crisis is now with us more than ever. There seems to me to be frequent attacks on our beliefs as Christians and our faith and what we truly believe. It's really hard to stand firm in our faith, does it not? So following the Good Shepherd now, it seems to me, is not just of the essence of living, but it's crucial if we are to live with hope and to not lose sight of God and eternity. So one sort of final question for you, for us, let's put it that way. How well do we follow the Good Shepherd? Because living as a Christian today, it's not easy, is it? I have to say that having started retirement, it's great. But holding on to what's important remains quite a challenge. To stay in the Christian life, it's not easy. Everyday pressures can push us out of time with Jesus. Everyday pressures can just distract us from perhaps what are some of the most important things we need to hold on to in our daily lives. In verse 15, Jesus says, "The Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Why does he do this? Jesus laid down his life to rescue us, to restore us, and to lead us into fullness of life. So I'm repeating myself because this powerful act of divine love is one that we need to take hold of day by day and to know that we are living under the love and the grace of the Good Shepherd, who by his Spirit will daily hold us, guide us, shape us. The life of the Spirit in us is such a powerful act of divine love. His love that brings us into the fold, into God's family, into Christian community, into this place, is such a gift and such a joy for us if we can hold on to that truth. But living as Christians in the fold is not easy. Nevertheless, crucial to do so. Sadly, it seems to me that there remain many people who are lost, and the picture of the sheep on the mountain, on the Malvern Hills, here's another similar picture. The sheep just do what they want. They are lost. They don't know where to go. There's nobody to follow. What a sad place that is. And people who, in today's life, do not see much beyond themselves, whose aim in life is to look after themselves, number one, and nobody else. Or maybe, if they're being generous, do a little bit of charity just to make themselves feel good. This is the one and only God who cares so deeply for you and me, so deeply and lovingly for all of humanity, and especially for those who are in poverty and difficulty here in Malvern. But more than that, this God who cares deeply, lovingly for all humanity, and especially the lost, more than that, he calls out longing to lead all into a Christ-centered life, a Jesus-centered life that has a true purpose, real value, deep Christian love, and lasting hope. No, rather, it's better to hold on that Jesus gives us life in all its fullness. That as we discover and walk with the Shepherd, it is the Shepherd who will lead us. It may be through difficult places and hard times, but he will lead us on. And ultimately, the one who is of such compassion will lead us into eternity. This is the God who is with us always and calls us to live differently, to live out of deep love He draws us into relationship. As he draws us into community, this Christian community, we find that our life can deepen and grow. And in finding that fullness of life, God in his love will turn our hearts out, as I think he's already doing amongst many of you. Turning our hearts to the wider world, filling us with compassion for the deep needs of the world around us. So there is no greater joy than following the Good Shepherd in this world and into eternity. Just invite you with me to be still and allow God by his Spirit just to continue to speak into your heart what you have heard and what you long to take hold of and to live by. Just enjoy God's presence here now. And be open to what he might say to you personally in the light of what you've heard. Lord, whether we're in a good place or a difficult place, a kind place or a tough place, allow the Holy Spirit to touch you with his love, with his amazing grace, with his kindness and care. And maybe you want to just offer in your heart maybe words of response. Prayerfully offering your hopes and your fears before the God who holds you and loves you.
You lift my head, you wipe my tears.
You restore my
there's bits of the sheep's wool caught on the thorn bush, and maybe there's some of us here who've had struggles and we've had bits torn off us. It just feels like it's been a painful place. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes to rescue us and to bring us home rejoicing. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, anything that's going on in your life, you'd like healing from the things that are holding you back, then do come to the front for prayer ministry at the end of the service, and there'll be somebody here who can pray with you to underline the fact that Jesus really is the Good Shepherd who loves us so much. And so we'll close our service with a blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain on you and those whom you love, both now and forevermore. Amen. you very much for coming. There is coffee in the hall. Go and pick up children if you need to, and do come for prayer at the front.